Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What a marvelous time of worship that was. Every musical note, every word in the song, every attitude was to glorify our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We didn't want to usurp anything. We don't want anybody to say, oh, you were good. No, He is good. Amen.
Amen.
All our worship is for Him. Praise the Lord. Well, Christmas was an awesome time. Man, it was a really good time with family and friends, not to mention the good food. There's lots of food. It reminds me of a lady who said, recently I went to the doctor for an annual checkup. The nurse asked me how much I weighed. I told her 130 pounds. Then she weighed me and the scale said 180 pounds. She asked me how tall I was. I said 5 feet 6 inches. She measured me and I was 5 feet 2 inches. So she took my blood pressure and told me it was high. Of course it is high, I said. When I came in here, I was tall and slender. Now I'm short and fat. I don't know why I told you that story. It's got nothing to do with the sermon. You know, on a Wednesday night, friends, we've been having tremendous Bible studies. Lots of preparation has gone into them. People are making notes as we speak. And then we round it off with a marvelous time of prayer. I want to encourage you. And last year, for about 13 weeks or so, with sometimes 2 weeks for one topic, we spoke about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And we know from the Beatitudes, it is where Jesus talks about our character and our attitude as Christians and what it need to be. And He also spoke about our relationship with God. Then Jesus moves into a type of influence we need to have within the world. Our relationship with others. He tells us that we are to make a difference. We should be a good influence to those around us. You know why? People are watching you and me. I've heard of a minister who was making a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine on the side of the wall. And as he was hammering away, he noticed that a little boy was watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, so the preacher kept on working, thinking the lad would leave. But he didn't. Pleased at the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said, "Are you trying to pick up some pointers on carpentry and gardening?" "No," he replied, "I'm just waiting to hear what the preacher says when he hits his thumb with the hammer." We are always influencing others, either positively or negatively. People are watching you and I. And what do they see, friends? Do you agree that what they observe has an influence on them? And it should. Jesus has energized us to be persuaders for Him. Do you know in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, Jesus spoke of two metaphors. That is salt and light. Two images that were and still are very common. And today I would like us to talk about salt. Do you know that the word sugar is not found in the Bible? But in Matthew 5 verse 13, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. Do you see that, friends? He didn't say you're the sugar man. Let's read chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon or by men. Today, friends, we really don't think a lot about salt. We hardly consider it unless you have high blood pressure or you're eating a steak. Most often we think of salt as a condiment that sits on the table next to the pepper. In other words, we don't pay a lot of attention to it, and yet it is so very important. In preparation of the sermon, I found some interesting facts about salt. Do you know that 40 million tons are required each year to fill our needs? Do you know that the Greek author Homer called it divine? Greek philosopher Plato called it a substance dear to the gods. Shakespeare mentioned salt 17 times in his plays. Perhaps Leonardo da Vinci wanted to send a subtle message about purity lost when he painted the Last Supper. And I know you're going to Google it when you get home. The Last Supper in that painting is an overturned salt cellar, and it's conspicuously placed in front of Judas. In the ancient Greece, a trade involving the exchange of salt for slaves gave rise to this expression: he's not worth his salt. Salt, special salt rations were given to Roman soldiers as pay and was known as solarium argentums, the forerunner of the English word salary, your salary. Do you know that thousands of Napoleon's troops died as they retreated from Moscow because their wounds would not heal, because their bodies simply lacked salt? Do you know that salt makes up 0.4% of the total body weight? Do you know that without enough of it, muscles won't contract, blood won't circulate, and food won't digest, and the heart won't beat a beat? You see how important salt is? And Jesus is saying, "Hi, you are the salt of the earth." Now it means something different. Without a doubt, salt is an essential part of life. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," meaning that we are essential. We are essential to the earth. And God is depending on us to make an impact for Him. Now, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 84. Let's read a few verses. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Friends, dwelling in God's house, dwelling in God's presence, is a wonderful and comforting place to be. Yet, we can get so caught up in the dwelling that we forget about the living. And part of our living is to be the salt of the earth. Do you see that? We love our church. We love coming here. We love being in this place, and we love worshiping the Lord has given us such a blessed life. So why would we leave this place where we feel God's presence and go outside of the sanctuary to those places where God seems absent? The question really gets to the core of what it means to be the church today. If the church is going to touch the lives of people, listen, if the church, not the building, not talking about the building now, us, if the church is really going to touch the lives of people with the good news of Jesus Christ, it has to happen beyond these walls. Do you agree with that? We have to influence people for Christ out there and not hide our influence in here. John Wesley teaches, the church is not our parish, the world is our parish. We come here not because this is the destination of our faith life. We come here, friends, to be equipped and empowered to go out there. Amen?
Amen.
We come in here to, in the presence of God, to be equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out there and be the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Friends, come on now. We on the first Sunday of 2024, I want it to be a different year for us. Our effectiveness as disciples does not depend on our sources, our success, according to the world standards. If we are working only to have the most prominent, well-attended, powerful congregation, if that's our focus, friends, then we're working towards the wrong goal.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? We are missing the point that of what it is to dwell in God's presence. The point is not to give glory to ourselves, but to give glory to God. One of the first things pastors like to talk about, so how many people you got in your church? Because you see, we got the wrong goal. It's not about that. It's about influencing the world for Christ. It's about going out there and being the salt of the earth. Jesus doesn't say, hey, guess what, guys? You will be the salt of the earth. Or he doesn't say, you should be the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Look, I was a teacher, man, at school, right? I taught for 17 years. I pay attention to words, man. He doesn't say, well, think about it. And if you've got nothing else to do, you might be the salt of the earth. He says, look at me, man. You are the salt of the earth. That's it. That's it. Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. Stop it. Friends, listen, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus was smiling when he said that. Guys, hey, you awesome man. You are the salt of the earth, man. We've got to think outside of the box in every sense of the word, outside of the sanctuary, outside of the normal way of doing ministry. Beyond the way we've always done it. The question then becomes, what do we do? How do we act as salt? And as we look at salt and what it does, we can see how we can be salty, influential children of God. Number one, salt is a seasoning. Salt has always been used as one of the most important seasoning for food there is. You know why? Salt gives taste. I've read, you know, let me just tell you something. I'll deny it if you say it. But when a pastor's lips get dry, he's nervous. I'll deny it. I read that in some countries, in prisons, just to punish the prisoners, they would hold a salt. You're not going to have a tasty meal. You're going to have a bland meal. You're going to eat to get full. You're not going to eat to enjoy. We're holding back the salt. Salt by itself doesn't taste very good, but it is applied to food, and when it's applied to food, it unleashes the flavor. You know Gordon Ramsay? He's a hot-headed chef, eh? You watch him on TV. He likes to get lose his cool. He says, "This is terrible!" He yells at these poor chefs. He says, "There's no seasoning. Taste this, it's bland." And so what he is saying is this dish does not contain enough salt. And it makes him angry because salt is such a crucial component of any dish. And its purpose is to bring out the full flavor of the food being served. You know what Job 6 verse 6 says? Let's have a look. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? As Christians, friends, we are God's seasoning in the world. Eh? We are God's seasoning in the world. Just as salt adds zest and it fires up the taste buds, so too we should be making life more tasty for others. Christians should be adding spice to the spiritually bland world. And we are saying through our lives, when people see us as Christians, taste and see that the Lord is good. We don't want people to frown and say, "Oh no, there comes this tasteless, good for nothing, bland person." No, they must say, "Look, whoa, here he comes." You know what? His whole lifestyle is screaming at us, saying, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Praise the Lord. We give taste to the world that is sinful, bland, and without joy. We add flavor. Salt must be brought into contact. Salt must be brought into contact, friends, with its object in order for its power to be released. We call to season the world with the flavor of God's grace and love. Secondly, salt is a preservative. For hundreds of years, people didn't have refrigeration systems that we have today. So they use salt to preserve their meat. The salt was rubbed on the meat before it was stored. Salt was added to the meat as to preserve, as to hinder the process of decay. There are two substances, friends, mentioned in the Bible that are very small and yet extremely influential. Salt and yeast. They picture opposites, opposite forces in the world. You see, while yeast is actually a fungus that causes decay, salt is a preservative that holds back decay. Do you see that, friends? Right? And in the same way, we as Christians are to hinder the work of Satan, friends, and the moral decay of the world. We are to hold back that decay. Used in this way, salt doesn't make something good. Listen to this. Used in this way, salt doesn't make something good. It just keeps it from going bad.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Friends, we are a preservative in our culture. God has put us into a rotting and decaying world in order to preserve it. We are to have an antiseptic impact on our society. Beatitude Christians, or blessed believers, are to help derail decay. When Christians express their faith through their lifestyle, society cannot help but be changed. You know, Pastor Ray Pritchard is one of my favorite pastors. I love that fellow. I read a lot of his work. He's such an awesome pastor. He puts it this way, friends. We who follow Jesus Christ are to be a moral disinfectant, stopping the spread of evil. We are to be the conscience of the community, speaking out for what is true and right.
Amen.
So far, we saw that salt is a seasoning. And secondly, we said that salt is a preservative. And one more, friends, listen. Salt creates thirst. Ever had a bag of chips? And you're eating the salty chips, you grab some water quickly. If we've really eaten something that's salty, you know what I mean. I read that some restaurants use lots of salt in food that is served on the smorgasbord or on the buffet. You know why? So that people can drink more water and eat less. As salty Christians, we should create a thirst for God in those who don't know Him. A Christian should keep people to, or help people have a desire to drink of the living water of Christ that leads to everlasting life. Let's look at John 4 verse 14. The Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus comes up to her, asks her for water, and then he says this about himself. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Friends, there should be something about Christians that are different from the world. Let me say that again. There should be something about Christians that is different to the world. People should see evidence of the difference Jesus Christ is making in your life. People should look at you and see that you are different, that Jesus is in your heart, that He's making a difference in your life. They should be able to look at us and say, I want what you've got. I often think, I wonder if I go up to certain people and ask them, do you know Johnny is a Christian? Whether they will know he's a Christian. Did he make a difference? Did his lifestyle make a difference? God uses us to make people thirsty for Jesus. That's what's behind Colossians 4 verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now I'm going to just change gears here, friends. And I'm going to say this. Did you notice something in our reading of Matthew 5, verse 13? Salt loses its flavor. You are the salt of the earth. Thank you. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Jesus, friends, went on to say that if the salt were to lose its flavor or saltiness, it's good for nothing. It's not good for anything. Now technically, now I must be careful because there are some people who study science here. I've got to be careful. Technically, friends, salt cannot lose its saltiness. You see, sodium chloride, now you're going to Google this, I can see you already starting to whiten. Sodium chloride, or salt, is a stable compound. It doesn't lose its saltiness. But listen, friends, during the time of Jesus, most salt was derived from marshes and lagoons and rocks around the Dead Sea. And this salt was contaminated or contained many impurities. Because the salt was of an inferior quality due to the contamination or the infiltration of foreign substances, it sometimes spoiled and had to be thrown out. Now we understand that verse. I wonder how many times this has happened in our lives. When we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and live under our own power, we allow ourselves to be contaminated by the world. It's unthinkable to Jesus for us to not be salty. But some of us have been infiltrated by sin that we've lost our savor. If we fail to be true to God's purpose for us, then what good are we to the world? If we dwell in this place, doing it the way we've always done it, what good are we to the world? If we bear the name of Jesus Christ but have lost our true essence as salt, then people stop seeing us as something useful or useful for anything, and the name of Jesus is misused and damaged. In much the same way, friends, we can lose our saltiness. We can lose our influence in this world when we mix ourselves with the things of the world. We start off, you say, well, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I mean, geez, people won't notice. But as time goes on, they are watching you. This fellow has lost his saltiness, his influence for Christ. You know, the phrase thrown out means to thrust out violently. The word trampled has the idea of to reject with disdain. I am told that savorless, saltless salt is still scattered on the parts in Israel today. Do you know that the salt that we throw on the sidewalk, have you ever taken a pinch of that and put in your food? No. It's different salt. It's called halite. It's full of impurities. It's gray and brown in color. Friends, we are the salt, and not being salty isn't fair to say. Isn't it fair to say? Then maybe we are good for nothing Christians. Well, that's a terrible statement. But it's just as terrible to be saltless. Friends, salt that just sits in the shaker does no good for anyone. It might have been, it might just as well be good to throw out. Keeping Christ bottled in the church and in the lives, our lives, is keeping salt in the cupboard of Christianity. The church is not a warehouse for salt. It's supposed to be a dispenser of salt that is shaking out you and me in order to make contact with others for Christ and in order to make a difference. Let me conclude. When Christians get right with God and begin to express their Christianity through their lifestyle, our neighborhoods, our workplaces cannot help but be changed. God continues to bring revival and renewal to mankind in order to preserve the world until He comes. Amen. Amen? Amen. Friends, are you making a difference? Listen, think about this. Are you making a difference? Are you really making a difference? Or have you lost your saltiness, perhaps? Sunday, April 8, 1945, German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was taken from a worship service he had just conducted for prisoners to a concentration camp in Flossenbürg. He was tried for treason and hanged just a few weeks before the Allied forces liberated the prison camp. A doctor at the scene described Bonhoeffer's final moments. The doctor says, "You know, through a half-open door in one of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer. Before taking off his prison clothes, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so submissive to the will of God. Bonhoeffer believed the words of Jesus, even to the point of death. You, Bonhoeffer, are the salt of the earth." When we accept these words, it may, friends, be that we are called to do something that will lead to persecution, ridicule, and difficult decisions. It means radical obedience to Jesus. It means we should make a difference for Jesus. If you believe these words of Jesus, that you are the salt of the earth, then you are being the salt of the earth. Friends, today and every day, go out and preserve the world for Christ. Today and every day, go out there and show the world the seasoning they are missing. And finally, today and every day, go out there and make people thirsty for our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. As we stand on the first Sunday of the year, Lord, looking back, and as the video showed us all the lovely highlights of our church family, as we stand here, Lord, we want to be an influence for you. We want to touch other people's lives with your goodness and grace and love. Help everyone here, Lord, everyone, because we're going to give an account of our lives. And we're going to see whether we were actually salt of the earth. Help us, Lord. And if necessary, we might even use words. But help us that through our very lifestyle, that people can see that we belong to you, that you are ours and we are yours. Help our church, Lord. None of us have arrived by any sense or of the imagination. We are a work in progress. Help everyone here, Lord. We're not saying, I wish Johnny was here to hear this. We are saying, I'm glad I was here to hear this. Help us all, Lord, to be what you want us to be seasoning for this world, to be a preservative against the enemy. And Lord, that we would create a thirst within the lives of people. You even said in your sermon, Jesus, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. You said that. Bless us, Lord, and continue to use us as a church to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we come to the very first communion of 2024. As we sit quietly, come Gregory, as we sit quietly, may this be a time for us to make a fresh dedication to the Lord. Lord, I dedicate my life to you afresh and new. That it would be a time of self-examination. As we heard the word, you are the salt. Me, Lord. Let me do a self-examination of me. And it's a time of meditation. It's a time of expectation, because while we celebrated his birth, We look with expectation for his second coming. And it's a time of encouragement. Let me read what Paul said. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But it says here, let a man examine himself, that we may not eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. If you're not prepared to receive today, rather not receive. This is serious. That we do not receive the cup of the Lord or the bread in an unworthy manner, because we will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But instead, let us examine ourselves. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. But there's a verse I love there. Verse 33. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Let's do it together. You know, Jesus says, you celebrated my birth. It was so lovely to hear all the lovely songs you were singing. It was wonderful. He said, I lived for you and then I died for you. And above all, I want you to remember that I gave my body as a ransom for many. I gave my life so that you may have life. And so as we gather around the table of the Lord, we say, yes, Lord, thank you. I do remember. Amen.